broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
With great pride and with great humility.
I imagine these members thought that maybe this flag was some kind
of... Well, looking at the GDP number right now, that...
Jennifer, I heard that it's not, you're not doing too well.
My head hurts.
My head was shaking.
Burn in hell.
Famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio. And we welcome you back here next hour. Vernon Dozier joins us, who is a high school educator, a board member at Belmar Academy, on a new study showing young people who are overweight are best left to sleep in on weekends and to take it easy and to relax. Don't get them out there working and otherwise exercising to help them lose weight. It's the anxiety and the tension of knowing that they have to lose weight that hurts them. So we're going to look at this study on how to deal with, how to treat, how to, you know, how to love your young person that may have a weight problem. We also have news on the health care bill that passed the House. You heard a little clip there of Nancy Pelosi talking about that. A jury has awarded a radio contestant survivor $16 million and a radio station promotion that went wrong. You know, we were talking about that case in the larger context of the broadcast business specifically. I often get these discussions going with some of my fine, wonderful, marvelous listeners. And you know I love and respect most of you. And all kinds of cliche answers will come up as to what is wrong with the American economy. And I always go back to my firm, fast belief that is a lazy, dare I say, criminally negligent generation of business leaders and industry leaders who have been lousy at business. But we'll get into that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And if you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, not only can you watch the show live right now and listen to the live streaming audio and also find an affiliate list of our great affiliates across the country, WWRL in New York, KTLK in Los Angeles, KPRC in Houston. We've got a great list of radio stations, many of them streaming us. You can also go and watch the video on demand for 5 days. We keep an on-demand archive up for 5 days, and you can listen to all kinds of radio shows, no matter which one, at your leisure, and download them, too. Just go to philhendryshow.com. This story here, for whatever reason, call me old-fashioned. I don't think so. These stories always tend to tighten my jaws a little bit, man. They just sort of mess my day up just a hair. This is in Marblehead, Massachusetts, which is near Salem. It's about a half hour by car outside of Boston. And there's a young man there. He owns a gym. And he had an American flag that he found in the back of his gym in a closet. And he said, well, the American flag, I know what I'll do. It's a big one. I think I'll put it up on the ceiling. Well, guess what? And I, you know, this has almost become a cartoon. It's almost like a caricature of the real thing. When somebody comes up to a guy, which is what happened, anybody, anywhere, these people got a problem with the American flag. And this one woman went so far as to say that it was about, it was religious. This woman, she's an angry woman. She talked to this guy. He owns Tioga Way Gym. And the gentleman's name is Mark Shea. And she walks up, she says, you might as well put Jesus on the cross in my face. Now, wait just a New York second. If that's really the sense that people have when they see a flag, like that's religious, then there is a serious need for, I say, massive MRIs. I mean, a government-funded MRI. Everybody, you got to find out, are there brain tumors out there that we don't know about? Because that cell phone usage, especially among probably tight asses like this old bitch, I bet you she's got one going that's pressing on that part of her brain that says, here's a good day to make sense. And she just can't get it out. Can't make it happen. This is a good day to talk like an intelligent person. And instead, what's coming out is
burn in hell.
That's what she thinks is going to happen if she looks at the American flag. So anyway, Mark Shea, owner of Gravity Fitness, said he received complaints ranging from the flag being a hindrance to airflow in the gym to Old Glory being as intrusive as a religious symbol. Now, these stories bother me, and probably because of the fact that I was raised by, as many of you were, raised by an old military guy. My father was in the Army. He fought in World War II. He was a Canadian who emigrated to the United States after World War II. He was with the Canadian Army. First thing he did was he bought a big carved wooden American eagle, hung it over the mantel, and then he put a flagpole in. You talk about a... We were a little weird on our block, man. I mean, my old man had a flagpole in the front yard, and every day we went out and we raised the American flag. Every day. Now, you must be thinking at this point, oh, well, no wonder you were indoctrinated. Well, hold the phone, because you got to remember when I grew up. I grew up in the 60s, and by the late 1960s, I was every bit as much the anti-Vietnam, anti-government, anti-establishment, anti-MAME kind of a guy that you'd be. And Funny Girl, and...
Hello, Dolly.
And Hello, Dolly. So, I was a long-haired hippie freak. I was a long-haired hippie, dirty, pot-smoking freak. Against the war in Vietnam, I was against my own happiness, too. I just thought if I was happy, that was bourgeois. So, but I probably never lost my affection for at least the Stars and Stripes. Now, you know, this country has done some bad things, done some good things, but I look at it as a student of history, I look in the overall, and I realize that nobody can argue it, nobody can possibly argue this, that in the overhaul and the what is the word I'm looking for? In the long run, and with an overview, you realize that this is the best idea America is that the human race ever had. Having given that big speech, we got to stop this. We have to stop turning an issue like the American flag into something that is an offensive thing, or it's a religious thing, or it hurts me when I look at that flag. I know about freedom of speech. I understand that. And I am not even saying that we need to pass a law like a lot of people where you can't burn the flag. I would never, ever support any law that says you can't burn the flag. Never. Never. We got to keep all of those avenues of free speech alive and well. And if somebody feels that it's the best possible, I personally think it's a sloppy form of protest, unless the country is engaged in something so horrific, so obviously horrific, that maybe burning the flag is a good statement to that. But I ain't seen it yet. I ain't not seen it yet. So this man, Mark Shea, receives complaints that the flag is religious, it's a hindrance to airflow. All of the critics were women. Now, I don't doubt that, because during the day, probably his clientele is mostly female. Call it what you wish, put any spin on it that you want, but we still have mom and dad, and generally dad works and generally mom's at home, or generally maybe mom has freer hours. I'm not saying anything about that other than that seems to be still the paradigm here in America. Most of them were women. Sometimes they made their complaints in front of his staff, and he cited more than a half a dozen instances. You might as well have put Jesus on the cross in my face. Another called the flag a hindrance to airflow. It really creates an unpleasant atmosphere. Some have complained that the flag blocks gym television, while some members have gone as far to say that the flag is offensive. Why is that? Because you don't believe... Now, if somebody said, I don't believe in the display of symbols. Okay. Why? Because I think they are propagandistic. I think they also exert an undue influence. I don't like any kind of symbol. All right. I can dig it. Or I think the American flag is offensive. Why is that? Because of the things that we've done. Well, in that instance, you have no choice but to tell him to shove it right straight back up where he pulled it out of in the first place, and to get out and do something else with his life besides stink your gym up with his membership. Here is Mark Shea. He tells Fox and Friends he's not quite sure why some people complained about the flag, saying that it was like the cross.
I imagine these members thought that maybe this flag was some kind of political, religious statement. But in all reality, you know, I was just showing my support for the country and our troops, both home and abroad. Something very important to myself and to my family and friends. And I thought it'd just be a positive, it'd create a positive atmosphere in the club. And we had some specific complaints saying that it actually did create a negative atmosphere in the gym, and people threatened to cancel memberships. And, you know, as a new business owner, a new community, you know, I've done all I can to preserve our reputation as a new business in a small community.
So he has people quitting his club, and the reason more than anything else why I brought this up is because I know that we're hurt in the Boston area, and I would very, very much like it if there's anybody listening to the show tonight. Here's a young man who wants to keep his business open, but he also believes that the flag is an inoffensive symbol. It's simply the symbol of our country. It's not religious. It's where we live. This is where we live. This is our home. This is our home. It doesn't mean the government. People like you and me fought and bled for that flag. Not presidents or congresspeople or cabinet members or jackasses or judges or anything. People from our street and from our town and from our homes and from our lives and from our neighborhoods fought and died for that thing. Picked it up in battle and walked forward with it. People like us. And if you think that's offensive, then you don't know, you're not a citizen of anything. You're not a member of anything. You don't even know who you are. And I would simply say this. This guy is losing membership. Now, I know that other people have picked up this story, so I'll just simply say, go on down to Marblehead and pick up a membership here at this guy's gym, Tioga Way Gym, and help him stay in business. He said, I'm not going to take the flag down. I'm sorry we're losing our customers, but God, if it was something that was, if it was a reasonable complaint, if it was actually a reasonable complaint, I'd be happy to respond to it. But taking the American flag off of my place of business because you think it's a religious symbol or it's offensive or... You can go straight to the devil, man. You can, as the man said, much more eloquently than me.
Burn in hell.
Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. House Dems unveil health bill cheered on by Obama. Let's find out about this and find out if this country, with the result of passage, of that bill, will in point of fact...
Burn in hell.
877-876-PHIL. Also, your phone calls. And next hour, Vernon Dozier on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And remember...
Jews are good with money.
Thank you. Just my producer wanted me to let you know that.
That's religious separation of the state.
Whatever, man.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I was talking to Rick Sanchez the other day. He says, he said to me, it's funny. We've had a white president and we've had a Catholic president. Now we've got a black president. He said, I wonder why we haven't had any Jewish presidents. I said, why? He said,
Jews are good with money.
And I said, well, that's nice, Rick. And you keep up the good work. 877-876-PHIL. I wasn't talking to him, but if I were talking to him, he would say something like,
Jews are good with money.
Now, the work swiftly heralded by President Barack Obama, House Democrats rolled out landmark legislation on health care reform. And that happened today. And they would extend health care to tens of millions who lack coverage, impose sweeping new restrictions on private insurance, and create a government-run insurance option for cost-conscious consumers. The measure covers 96% of all Americans, and it puts affordable coverage in reach for millions of uninsured and underinsured families, lowering health care costs for all of us, boasted Speaker Nancy Pelosi at a ceremony attended by dozens of... And I do support this, and see, I'm a flag-waving public health care kind of a guy, you know? There ain't too many of us. Not too many of us. So you just always have to, you got to give us a little bit of love. And when I was talking about waving the flag, understand something. This is not partisan. God help us if it is. It's just where we live, man. You know, and like Chris Norton was making his point badly last hour about a wedding ring being the symbol of a marriage. Well, the flag's the symbol of the country, for crying out loud. If you can't have that, you might as well not wear your wedding ring, huh?
But I don't understand the connection on account of that. What?
On account of what?
What do you mean about the flag?
The flag is the symbol of the country. A wedding ring's the symbol of a marriage. It could be a bad marriage. It could be a good marriage, but you're married.
Okay, but you're not going to wear a flag.
Are you an idiot or something?
Man, he's talking about waving a flag.
Yeah, but what do you got to do with a wedding ring?
The wedding ring is a symbol. The flag's a symbol. Bud, you're too thick, man, to figure this out. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announces the health care bill at a ceremony on the steps of Das Kapital.
It is with great pride and with great humility that we come before you to follow in the footsteps of those who gave our country Social Security.
Bad.
And then Medicare.
I'm kidding.
And now universal, quality, affordable health care for all Americans.
Uh-huh. Representative Pelosi touts some of the policies of the bill.
It covers 96% of all Americans, and it puts affordable coverage in reach for millions of uninsured and underinsured families, lowering health care costs for all of us. One other very important feature is that it will end discrimination for pre-existing medical conditions.
Yay! Jews are good with money.
I think it's a disappointment, really, to millions of Americans who saw a 1,000-page bill this summer, spent most of the month of August making it clear to members of Congress in both parties that they didn't want government-run insurance, they didn't want a vast new bureaucracy with mandates and taxes that would lead to a government takeover of health care. And now, after weeks of backroom negotiations, now the Pelosi health care bill is revealed this morning, and it's a freight train of higher taxes, mandates, and bureaucracy that instead of being 1,000 pages is 1,990 pages.
Right, that is Representative Mike Pence, who is talking to MSNBC on the bill. On the House floor today, Representative Steve LaTourette from Ohio calls Democrats a bunch of whining babies for claiming the GOP is stopping health care reform.
Mr. Speaker, all throughout history, you know, there's been the big lie. And we got the big lie going here again. And it goes like this. Republicans won't let us have health care reform. Wah. Republicans are the party of no. Wah. Why are Republicans stopping us from reforming health care? Wah. There's 257 of them. There's only 177 of us, although it looks like a bigger number over here today. We couldn't stop a one-car parade. This health care discussion is a fight between the left and the far left.
Burn in hell.
Well, let me explain something to you, Mr. Representative, there from wherever the hell you're from. There isn't anybody on the Republican side that is saying we don't need health care reform. There isn't anybody on your side of the aisle that is saying we shouldn't be doing something to reform health care. We've been talking about it for decades. The president pointed that out. There isn't anybody that's going to deny that. Now, you may think this is a bad idea the way this is going on, but you have, along with the Democrats, you have so butchered this message that you got a lot of people out there believing we don't need any health care reform. That's how good you are, man. That $2.5 trillion a year is fine. That the guy that had his hand operated on there in Rhode Island, and you know they operated on the wrong hand and he lost two fingers, that's fine. That's the health care we got right now, right? They're talking about all these horror stories from government-run health care. What kind of horror stories could we tell today about modern American health care? It'll curl your hair. Curl your hair. People dying. Now, I don't care if they die. You want my good, honest American opinion? I could give a crap. I don't want to have to pay for it. And that happens to be, whether they're honest enough about it, that happens to be the opinion of every single American. They don't want to pay more money, man. And that's why we're doing this. So do you think the Democrats rolled that message out? No. They put Alan Grayson in charge, and he's talking about how everybody's getting killed and it's a Holocaust. You know, wrong, 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 wrong. They stick Pelosi up there quoting Social Security. I think Social Security is great. I think Franklin Roosevelt was a great president. It's the wrong thing to say. Do you understand? You got to understand the crowd. Do you understand the message? Do you understand who you're talking to? Get the right people to pitch this. Now, on the Republican side, you guys had better come up with something that's going to save this country, the $2.5 trillion every year that we're putting out on health care. You better open up your big fat mouths and come up with something as visible, at least. And I mean visible, solid, concrete. And let's see the numbers, baby. Because I'll vote for that, too, if it makes more sense. But understand something. I don't give a damn if it's a Democrat or a Republican that sponsors it. We got to have it. We got to have it soon. We got a century ahead of us, and you keep talking about our grandchildren inheriting the debt. You know what you're going to our grandchildren are going to inherit a country that is no longer America, that it's running fourth behind the Brazilians, the Russians, and the Chinese, that we've got stupid fools who want us to return to some quasi-agrarian society, that we've got these idiots who want us to retreat from the future. And what do they got at the end of the day? Why do they tell you everything is wrong? They go after labor. They go after the weakest people. They don't want to talk about their friends in business who have all the power. They got all the bread. They make all the decisions. They're the guys that build the cars. They're the guys that build the homes. They're the ones that build the radio stations and build and put together everything that is concrete and solid in this society. Those are the guys that run the show. Are you kidding me? How could government have so much power on the one hand, and on the other hand, people tell you they're corrupt, they're in the pocket of half of these guys? The problem are those very people that you've been talking about who are so marvelous for our country, our entrepreneurs. Yeah, we need entrepreneurs, because the ones that have been running the show the last 30 years, they butchered this thing six ways to sunset, brah. How do you like that?
That's pretty cool.
Thanks. 877-876-PHIL. And what do you think?
That's very tough to swallow.
All right, coming back with your phone calls and more on this and that radio station's $16.7 million award to a contestant that died. Nice going. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Next hour, we have Vernon Dozier on a new study saying large kids, heavy kids, overweight kids, you should not exercise them. You should let them sleep in, not exercise them, but let them sleep in on Saturdays. Give them a chance to sort of regenerate, recoup. So that's coming up next hour. This is a story that we want to do for you. Police are looking into a gunshot fired at the home of Lou Dobbs. And you know Lou Dobbs, he's an anchor over at CNN. And apparently there was a shot fired at his home. Here is Lou on the air telling his CNN audience today that shots were fired at his house because of his stance on illegal immigration.
Well, 3 weeks ago, Monday morning at 10:30 in the morning, a shot was fired, perhaps two shots, but one bullet hit very near my wife and driver, hit our house. The State Patrol, I want to give great credit to the New Jersey State Patrol. They were there almost instantly. It was an amazing response on the part of the New Jersey State Patrol. They are conducting what is now about a three-week-long investigation. They've recovered the bullet. They know the ballistics. I can't say too much about that investigation, but it is the culmination of what had been months of threatening phone calls. Those threatening phone calls tied to the position that I've taken on illegal immigration.
Now, State Police Sergeant Steve Jones said today that his department received a call from Dobbs' wife who heard a shot and said a bullet hit the house. Jones said she had been outside her home with an employee who works with Dobbs at about 10:25 in the morning on October the 5th. There were no injuries in the incident, which occurred in a small community in northern New Jersey. He said the bullet struck the section of the house where the attic is, but didn't penetrate the dwelling. He said the bullet fell to the ground and was recovered. So that is very disturbing, and I don't care who you are, what you are, or where you are, or how you're doing it. An attack on the press, even if it is that part of the press which is the commenting press or the commentator side of the press, is an attack on the Constitution. Just like an attack on a police officer is an attack on the Constitution. Just like an attack on our president, an attack on, well, frankly, any kind of attack on people who are public and who are trying to get us thinking about the issues that are important in this society. That's just a flat attack on free speech. So what do you guys got here?
We're going to do Iron Swine.
All right, Bud and Robert, you in this?
Yeah, I'm going to be Iron Swine, and Bud is going to be Lou Dobbs.
And Bud's going to be Lou Dobbs. All right, here we go with Iron Swine.
Okay, hold on for a minute.
Oh, will you come on, man?
Yeah, okay, got it. Iron Swine, and we're going to go to Lou Dobbs' house on account of... Or I'm Lou Dobbs, I mean.
Yeah, you Lou Dobbs.
Go over to Iron Swine. Iron Swine's going to go to Lou Dobbs' house, find out who shot at him.
Hey, Mr. Dobbs, I'm on the police. What happened?
Yeah, a guy shot at my house and everything, and here's a bullet.
Oh, yeah, I'll go down and put it through a ballistic, and then I'll find out, okay?
Wait a minute, Iron Swine. Look at this. There's drool and saliva and ew.
Hey, there's all kind of drool around here, man.
Yeah, it's drool. So then another thing, Iron Swine goes back and looks.
Hey, I found out from the DNA on the drool who shot at your house.
Yeah, who?
Chris Matthews.
All right, thank you very much, Iron Swine.
Right.
Iron Swine saws another, and Chris Matthews, he did it. And then we called Chris Matthews. He said,
did you really write this yourself with a typewriter?
Yeah, okay, that's it.
What?
Chris Matthews shot at him.
Yeah, we thought that's probably what happened.
Well, probably. 877-876-PHIL. Iron Swine. All right. Let's go to a phone call here. World famous Phil Hendry Show. So you think they're going to bust Chris Matthews for that? Jeez, I hope They do. Here is Royce in Jackson, Mississippi. Royce, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I think I'm going to go down to the store and get me a flagpole and put a flag up my yard.
Why not?
I mean, you know, we need that flag.
You know.
We're gonna have to rally around that flag and remember who we are in order for
this
us.
This is where we live, man. Yeah, this is our home. This is our home, you know.
Yeah, we,
and I'm
going to
say something else.
Come around as a nation and take back our government.
Taking back the government, you know, Dennis Miller's got a great line, and I like it. He says, take back the government, all you got to do is vote. You can take back the government, you know. So it isn't that hard to take back the government if you feel you need to do that.
But
whether you want to take it back, you know, I just think
vote,
that, man.
But after you vote, make them, hold them accountable, make them realize they work for us. We don't vote them in to go in there.
See, you're asking for a whole lot of complicated stuff, Royce. All I want people to do is say, can I hang that flag in the gym? You know, you want us to go and do a whole bunch of jazz, man.
Yeah.
All right, brother. I appreciate it. You're right. But you know, it is true. It's like we got to get back to the basics. Okay, here. Number one, flag, good. Vote, good. Go, vote, read up. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like it's remedial citizenship. So.
I mean, you hit it on the head there about the read up. You almost should have to have a license to vote. I mean, people vote that are very uneducated about any of the problems.
But you know what? That is the way it's got to be, because we at one time we had poll taxes. At one time we only allowed men. Now everybody's got to pitch in, and everybody's got to get smart or the country goes away. It's just as simple as that. Royce, thank you very much for your call.
That guy, he sounded like a redneck.
Let me tell you something, bud, with that redneck stuff, okay?
Yeah, he did. He sounded like, what's he talking about?
Wait a second. Just hold the phone for a minute here. You know, I get tired of hearing people, that man is from Mississippi. Do you know the most patriotic people in this country are Southerners?
What do you mean?
I mean the most patriotic people in this country seem to be Southerners. I'm not saying that they're conservative or liberal or anything like that. They are people who... 9 times out of 10, we get a call from the South. It's somebody who's propping the country and not wanting to rip it a new ass. That's all. And those are people who used to be like, what do you call it? The Confederate States?
Yeah, the ones that owned the slaves.
Yeah. Owned. Here is Jim in Illinois. Jim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
Fine. Thank you.
Great. You know, you're probably a very great American, a very caring and loving American. It's just that I disagree with your viewpoint here. I you know, there's just so many things wrong with our country as far as, you know, when the government's got its hands on things like the post office and Social Security, and things are going bankrupt. In fact, Social Security, in 2009, we spent $20 billion more than we collected. That's a problem. And we cannot take on another project, you know, that the government can fail at. You know, we need to fix what we have. And I just think we do need reform. It's just, you know, the way they're going about it is terrible. It's wrong.
Well, all right, you go ahead. What kind of reform? You got to give me a reform, though, that is going to address $2.5 trillion a year, man. This stuff about tort reform, which comes in at about $200 billion, which is a drop in the bucket, is not going to get it done. And the stuff about buying insurance across state lines, that's another drop in the bucket. What are you going to do about $2.5 trillion a year? What's your idea?
I don't know all the answers, and I don't know the answer to this, but what I do...
This is not right. It's not right to say we have a huge problem, but the way you guys... It's like sitting in a peanut gallery. Excuse me, I don't mean any offense, but it's like sitting there while a guy's mopping... You know, Obama said it, and I have to quote him. You're telling me how to mop? Why don't you grab a mop, you know? In other words,
we need to mop up the mess that we already have. Okay, instead of making more messes,
how are we going to mop up the mess that we already have, sir? When you got approaching 20% of the GDP going to healthcare costs, how are you going to mop up a mess when you're running that money down a rat hole?
Okay, so
$2.5 trillion. You understand the $2.5 trillion? What is our national debt now? $11 trillion? That's 10% of the national debt.
So by increasing the national debt, that's going to fix things?
No.
That's what'll happen.
I said to you that if people are not spending the amounts of money that we have been on health care reform to the tune of $2.5 trillion, That is going to address a large part of that debt. Now, you say increase the national debt. I know the number that they're talking about. Do you? The number they're talking about is $289 billion a year over 10 years, if I'm not mistaken. Do I got that number right, Jace? Yeah. That's less than one half of what we're trying to get done in terms of the annual outlay. The annual is $2.5 trillion. We're talking about paying $1 trillion over 10 years to get rid of that. You go ahead, do the math, man. What's wrong with it?
Well, let me ask you this. You remember when they first instituted, I think it was Social Security, and they had said, you know, how much?
No, I don't. I wasn't born yet.
How much it was going to cost?
And in the 1930s? You're talking about in the 1930s.
Yeah, in the 1930s, they said it was going to cost like $20 billion by 1990. Well, it's nine times that amount. We're getting killed. Wait a minute.
You're talking about a difference of 60 years. 660. Well, all the guys that were making that statement were going to be dead. This is a statement that holds the people accountable. 10 years we're talking about. 10. Everybody's going to be around, and everybody is going to be standing there up for grabs. Okay, here's our 10 years. What do you got, you know?
But you can't reform it through government. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
No, you can't make a blanket statement like that, sir, and you can't make a blanket statement like that without some better information than a 60-year prediction not coming true, because that's over half a century. People say that to me. Yeah, I know. That's argument number five in the many arguments that are used. I look at government and I see a mission to the moon. I see World Wars I. I see a lot of problems addressed by government. I see a public education system, public universities, sir. Do you realize we have private and public universities? And this point's been made better by other people. We have great public universities. One of the best universities in the country is UC Berkeley, publicly financed by the people of the state of California. A math and science center that attracts students from around the world. And there are other examples of that.
California.
I beg your pardon? Excuse me, I'm talking about, are you listening to me? I'm talking about our public university system. Do you deny that it is an excellent system?
Do you deny that
the public university system is an example of government doing a good job?
Could it be better?
Do you deny that the public university system, sir, is an example of the government doing a good job? Or do you want me to say to you when I come down to your work, Jim, and I say, hey, Jim, you're doing a good job, but you know, you could do a lot better, Jim. You're doing a great job, but you could do a lot better. What kind of prop is that, man?
Well, you know, let's look at their track record. What have they actually done lately that has been good besides?
I just got done telling you that government has sustained for centuries a public system of education second to none in the world. Thanks for your call. Thank God somebody thought of that for me, because I was running out of examples.
Yeah.
877, for which I'm sure somebody's going to say to me at one point.
Burn in hell.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget. Thank you very much, Jim, for your call. You're a good man for putting up with my cantankerous nature. Thank you, Bud and Robert, for Iron Swine, brother. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous, groundbreaking Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Now we're too old, yeah. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
And we're going to get into a story here about Randall Terry wanting to burn Nancy Pelosi in effigy. But first, we're going to roll out a new segment on our program called
F.U.
And tonight, we're going to give a big
F.U.
to Bud Dickman, who was eating all the bananas in the kitchen, because I wanted those bananas for that cramp I had in my leg.
What are you talking about?
I had a Charlie horse, man, you know, like no potassium. That's why I got them bananas, because all those people said so.
What do you mean about a horse?
Charlie horse. I had a freaking knotted up muscle in my leg, and you're supposed to eat bananas and stuff. And you ate them all, so...
F you.
Bud Dickman, how about that?
You're supposed to say F you to Rick or to Rick Matthews, like politicians and stuff.
Not today, we ain't.
That's dirty pool.
Dirty pool. Anti-abortion activist calls for the burning of effigies of Pelosi and Reid. Randall Terry, who we've had on the show, he's not a bad guy. He's kind of a nice dude. He is. He's a likable guy. He's an affable chap. And you're so wrong, Randall. It's so sickening. You going out there to Notre Dame when Obama was speaking, you scare people with your rhetoric. You are pushing the... You don't understand this, Randall. You're a very smart guy, but I think you've got a little bit of a psychopath thing going on, man. Seriously. You don't understand that your movement has alienated the American people. Alienated them. You understand? Now, I believe in a woman's right to choose, but even if I were a pro, quote, lifer like you, I wouldn't want to be hanging around you because you're weird, Daddy-O, with all this burning Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi. And what is this, man? Is it the 19th century, the great awakening? Randall Terry, the anti-abortion activist, said he believes it's time to start drawing from our proud American tradition of burning people in effigy. And he's starting with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. Now, I suppose on a good day, I'd join you in that because I don't like either one of them either, but in fact, I wouldn't. I don't like them for the different reasons that you don't like them. I don't like them because they're screwing everything up. They're screwing up stuff that I want to have happen. They say they want health care reform. They're butchering it six ways to sunset, man. Somebody's got to get them off the case. Terry wants like-minded individuals to burn effigies of the two congressional Democratic leaders on Halloween to protest health care legislation he suggests will make Americans pay for child killing. Why don't you? Oh, you sorry ass. Come on. Now I know you're going to.
Burn in hell.
Yes, you will. You know that isn't true. You know that hasn't even been established yet. There's all kinds of debate on that. Anyway, here is a man speaking for Randall Terry calling for the burning. Where are we? The burning of effigies.
Greetings. It's time to start drawing from our proud American history of burning people in effigy.
F-U.
What we want you to do is hold a protest on October 31st, Halloween Day, showing Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid burning in hell if they don't repent of making us pay for child killing in the health care bill. No, this is not a threat to their body, but it is a threat to their soul.
Oh, you're threatening their soul now. Thank you very much, God. Now, on his YouTube site, Randall posts what he calls a satirical clip of what awaits Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi if they force us to pay for child killing and health care, in which a man burns pictures of Pelosi and Reid. Here is an excerpt. In fact, Randall, you were so lazy you didn't go and do the commercial yourself. They had to loop your voice in.
Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid burn in hell, want us to pay for child killing. Abortion! And health care.
Health care.
Oh, they will burn in hell for this. Ooh, that's an idea. Halloween is coming.
You guys are kidding, right? Seriously. So there it is. There's Randall and his nonsense. Jury awards $16.57 million to radio contestant survivors. A Sacramento Superior Court jury on Thursday awarded the survivors of Jennifer Lee Strange $16.57 million as a result of her death nearly 3 years ago at a water drinking contest conducted by a local radio station in which they fired everybody but the people that should have been fired. In making the award, the 7-man, 5-woman panel found that Entercom Sacramento LLC, the local subsidiary of Entercom Communications of Philadelphia, was negligent in putting on the contest that ultimately resulted in Strange's death, do you think? Plaintiff's lawyers had asked the jury for an award for economic and non-economic damages in the range of $34 to $44 million. This young lady, Strange, was 28 years of age. She died on January the 12th, 2007, after participating in what KDND and Morning Rave, their morning show, promoted as its Hold Your Wii for a Wii contest that promised the popular Nintendo video game to whomever could drink the most water without urinating or vomiting. And I'm sure that when the producer of the show brought it up to their promotions person, who I know brought it up to the general manager, I'm sure everybody said, oh, this is funny as hell, huh? Until somebody died and then they all ran for cover. The Sacramento County Coroner's Office determined that she died of acute water intoxication. The Sacramento County Sheriff's Department investigated the case to see if it was a homicide, but no criminal charges were filed. Plaintiff's attorneys filed a wrongful death lawsuit on behalf of her husband and their children. And Ronald Sims, the father and guardian of the one's oldest child, Keegan, 13. The plaintiffs charged the defendants were negligent in holding the contest. The defense claimed that Strange's death was unforeseeable, and if there was any liability on the part of Entercom, it had to be offset by the woman's own contributory negligence, so she should have known that drinking all that water was going to be bad for her. And so you can do anything you want under the guise of promoting your radio station, even something that's potentially fatal. It's if you die, it's your problem, pal. They should offer an award to the family. If you die in any one of our contests, they get a nice, you know, like a radar, a man of range or something.
Jennifer, I heard that it's not, you're not doing too well.
By the way, this is the young lady before she died on the air.
Jennifer, I heard that it's not, you're not doing too well.
My head hurts.
Aww.
They keep telling me that it's the water, that it'll tell my head to hurt and then it'll make me puke. But
Who told you that? The intern?
Yeah.
That's what I know it's over there.
It hurts, but it makes you feel lightheaded, so I'm not sure. If I'm just like...
This is what it feels like when you're drowning. There's a lot of water inside of you.
Oh, it hurts.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dr. Ben Casey. Vernon Dozier coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, talking about overweight kids and what's best for them. We'll be right back. Man.
Phil Hendry.
Burn in hell.
Learn more at talkradionetwork.com.